Hi there. You're listening to The Jasmine Star Show, a conversational business podcast for entrepreneurs building a life they love. Today, my guest is Rob Felder, the CEO of Felderworks. Over the past 10 years, Rob has had the opportunity to work with a number of Fortune 500 companies where we helped recruit, train, and mentor leaders and get them prepared for the next stage of their career. Y'all, today Rob is going to do the same for you. He is clearly a man after my own heart, and I'm so excited for you to hear our conversation today about the importance of a healthy mindset in business, what his mission is as a career coach, and he's here to help you. So without further ado, let's listen in on my conversation with Rob Felder. Friends, you will never believe how excited I am to introduce this conversation we're going about to have. But I have to say that when I first encountered Rob, he didn't know who the heck I was. And so we hop on this quick chat about the podcast and I'm like, oh, we're going to talk about the inception of awesomeness. Because when I came across this piece of content, now, my general rule of thumb is the people I bring on the podcast are people that I know I've had conversations with before, people who I can like co-sign. I'm like, this person's going to deliver. And this is the first time that I'm actually talking to him in person. But that is a testament to good content. That is a testament of somebody showing up in their superpower, being exactly as they are. And just in case you're a little bit unfamiliar in the podcast world, I always chat with my guest and I'm like, hey, if you say something you're not comfortable with, we can edit it out. And he's like, nah, we're going to get this party started. Like, he's going to show up exactly how he is. So y'all, bring it 100 for Rob Felder. So Rob, can you tell a little bit of the audience who you are and what you do?
Sure. I am Rob Felder. I have the pleasure for, I've had the pleasure for the past 12, almost 15 years of inspiring, motivating, and more importantly, helping people to take the chains off of their minds. When I initially started doing that, I started in the high school realm, going from school to school, crying as I was going along. Folks say, Rob, you know, you have a bleeding heart. And it took me a long time to be able to get to the point of not getting so wrapped up in my emotions as I was helping others. Fast forward 15 years later, I have the company that I originally started, Driven to Inspire, where we still interact and we work with high schools and colleges. And then I also founded Felderworks, which is all about talent and training solutions. So that's the space where I bring to life the personality assessments. But more importantly, it's where I really talk about culture. Right. So from just being a motivational speaker to someone who's working with companies and individuals on how do we solve today's problem from a place that we all probably understand, but we don't take the time to really dive into. And that's the culture of the individuals we interact with.
Okay. So this is good. So I noticed that on a lot of the social content, which is how I interacted and how I discovered you, you're called a leadership and career coach. So number one, I want to know what that means. And then number two, I want you to explain Felderworks like I'm 5 years old. Like you talk about culture, you talk about the inception of the person, but like what is somebody's journey as they start working with you? Because I think it's going to set the context for the rest of this conversation.
Awesome. So let me start first with the leadership and career coach. So for me, from just working at different places full time, what I started to realize is that a lot of individuals who are going to work, we often leave ourselves at home. So I had a keynote speech that says, don't leave your heart at home. And people are like, wait, so you're talking about my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my wife, or my husband? And I'm like, no, I'm talking about what makes you happy? What makes you you? So when we talk about being a leadership and career coach, I'm not just a person who's like, hey, go out, get the biggest job with the largest bankroll that they're going to give you. I'm talking about making sure that who you are is connected to what you do. Right. And by being connected with what you do, that means when you show up in all of your glory. Right. And it's so often that we want companies to figure that out for us. We want companies to put us in the right position. We want companies to make us into a LeBron. We want companies to make us into a Michael Jordan or a Tom Brady. Compared to recognizing, the first thing is for you to show up as who you are, and then you work with the company to more or less be developed and understand more of who you are. So that's that leadership and...
Okay, wait, career. Okay. You're not even finished your dang sentence. I was like, wait. Okay, so this is so good because do not leave your heart at home. So let me help contextualize. This audience, by and large, hustlers, dreamers, entrepreneurs. That's what we do, who we are. Now, there is a large segment of listeners, not all, but people who are like, their passion, the why they wake up in the morning ain't their full-time job. They're going to get there, but they're not quite yet. So if you talk about applying standing in your power and your purpose in the boardroom, as well as in your side gig or the thing that you want ultimately to pay your bills, how can you cross the two? How do you not let, you know, your heart and passion stay over here with like your side gig business, but the other thing that pays the bills? How do you create that cross section?
So an awesome mentor of mine by the name of Allie James, she coined this phrase and she said, grow where you're planted. And it's so often that we resent where we are. And by growing seeds of resentment, it blocks out exactly where we should be going. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is it's not so much to say, hey, I'm where I am and I'll never move. But it's to say, I'm where I am. And oh my goodness, what's about to come next is going to be awesome. But I have to finish this phase. And I remember when I first started, I would go places and I was speaking and I was like, oh my goodness, I've never felt like this before. I don't want to do nothing else. But I wasn't running the race that I was given at that point in time. So when we're talking to business owners, when we're talking to folks who are still working, the big thing is finish the race you're in. And that doesn't mean that that race is going to go another decade. That race might be to the end of the month. But the big part of it is make sure that you classify where you are. And I'll just share what I mean by that. Are you running a marathon or are you running a sprint? Right. And it's so often that we get confused. It's like, well, you know, I don't want to be here forever, but and I want to go and do something else. So now, instead of focusing on running the race, you're focused on running a different one and you don't finish this one properly. Where a lot of times where we're planted is to give us something that we'll need for later on. So ultimately, like you'll hear a lot of those gurus out there, don't cheat the process. Right. And the other side of it that I would give is flush out your ideas. That's the one thing I know when I first started as an entrepreneur and doing things, I was so excited to share my gift and share this blessing that I had. I was going out and just yelling to folks, you need to be on my team. I got something. Oh, my goodness. We're going to save lives. We're going to change the world and we're going to make bank. That was it. And I was like, if you're not getting down, you're missing out. I'm telling you right now, you're going to regret it. Compared to me taking a step back and saying, Rob, well, what does this world look like from what you're building? Mm-hmm. Right? Imagine it's similar to, and maybe a lot of us don't look at it this way. You're building Disney World or Disneyland as Walt Disney and I think his brother Hal. And compared to you sitting down and saying what this whole entire magical place will look like, you call a bunch of people who don't understand magic, who they don't understand exactly what you see, but you call it a man because you want them to help you. And a lot of times we don't take enough time to nurture the baby.
To create the vision.
Right? We don't take enough time to feed the baby. And then we bring other people in who they're dreaming something else. Mm-hmm. So they're running a race that you're not even ready to run yet. And then a lot of times for those, and I know folks who've co-founded companies, then you'll feel the animosity grow. Mm-hmm. And you have nobody to blame except yourself because you didn't take the time to nurture what you was given. So, and that's a whole bunch of stuff, but...
No. Okay, so let's peel that back. Because what we got to was the Walt and Hal Disney building out the magical kingdom. But many of the listeners are like Walt Disney with pencil and paper, right? So we're not even thinking about the magical kingdom. Mm-hmm. So for the people who are listening on their way to work, for the people who have their earbuds in and they're at work, they're getting paid to listen to this podcast right now. Okay, mm-hmm. I know you, I see you. For the moms who are on the treadmill or in the school pickup line, and they say, all right, Rob says I have to bloom where I'm planted. Okay. What is some practical advice? Like I'm a girl from the hood. I'm a daughter of an immigrant. So when we talk about this super woo woo bloom where you're planted, that sounds great for a Hallmark card, but like, come on, Rob, give me a mantra. Give me something that I can be like, what can I do to change and flip the script?
So the first piece is what skill sets and competencies are you honing where you are now?
Ooh.
Right? So for me, when I'm coaching folks, the first thing that I'm trying to figure out is, one, where are you at right now? When you roll out the bed, who are you? Who is this person that when you look in the mirror, you're like, hey, this is Jasmine. This is Jennifer. This is Johnny. Who's that person? Let's start there, right? You write down who am I? What do I bring to the table? And then as you start to figure out what do you bring to the table, then you say, well, where do I see myself going? And as I start to see where I see myself going, then you say, okay, and to actually be there, what am I missing? Right? Because a lot of times we make a grocery list for everything else except the things that make us happy. Right? So for me, that grocery list is now saying, okay, so what skill sets and competencies do I need to go out and obtain? And can I obtain them where I am? So when I say grow where you're planted, it's figuring out, okay, what do I need? What's the substances that I need to actually obtain so I can be this person that I see myself being? And then now when I get those things, I can start to level up. Mm. I can start to build. Then I can start to grow that team. But the first thing I need to understand is, who in the world am I? And it's so often that a lot of us, and I have some awesome folks around me that suffer from this one thing. They're caught up trying to figure out who other people see themselves as. And the most important person that can answer that question is you when you look in the mirror. The most important person is, who am I? And if you don't know, then you go out and you start to circle around it, asking the questions. Then you do some of that, but you have to be able to bring it back home and really do a deep dive. Really, really do a deep dive.
So I want to take a minute. Rob had said, what skills and competencies are you honing now? Now, for the people who are at the starting blocks and they say, I'm just a mom. And you all know, if you've been around the block with the podcast, I hate the word just. You're not just anything. You could be fostering an ability to multitask. You could be cultivating time management. You could, if you are sitting in a cubicle with somebody who is in a toxic environment, you could be cultivating how not to lead a team. You could be cultivating things. So you taking 5 minutes to say, what am I cultivating now? Even if to grin and bear it, what are you actually cultivating? And then ask yourself, who am I? And this is a big, big thing, right? So Rob, for somebody who's just like, I don't know where to start with identifying who I am. Like, what are one or two questions that somebody could ask themselves now to help empower and articulate who they are?
What do I do well? Mm. Right? What do I do well?
Yes.
And what do I not like? So a big part of it is, what am I doing? What am I doing well? And what if I could throw it out tomorrow, what would that be? Mm. And the reason that I give you those two is more or less, let me start to classify what works for me. Right? What works for me? Right? So what do I do well? What do I like doing? Right? And then the next piece is, if there were some things that I could get rid of tomorrow, and some people say, I don't like speaking in front of other people. I don't like writing papers. I don't like to do podcasts, whatever the case may be. Then you can turn around and say, okay, these are some things that I don't like to do, but what do I need? Right? And that's a big part for us. Some things that we don't like, we're going to need them, but I like to classify them. Yeah. I like to figure out exactly what they are so I can get the help. I'm checking in the Jasmine. I'm rocking. I'm like, okay, I know why I'm listening now. In the beginning, I just liked her. Hey, she's smart. She's awesome. She's from a background that I'm from. So I connected there. The next step is now I'm watching her podcast and listening on iTunes or anywhere else to what she's talking about with intention now. Mm. Because now I know why I'm showing up. I'm not showing up because she reminds me of me. I'm showing up now because I know what she's delivering. I know what she's bringing to the table that fits for my life.
This is good. So we're going to put a pin in this because I have a feeling that I'm going to try to braid this in at a later point in time. But I read on Instagram, you wrote the following, quote, when you're doing, no, don't say uh-oh. It's like, say, prepare your hearts. Quote, when you're doing something that will be positive, life-changing action for you and your family, but you keep hitting roadblocks and dead ends, it's about your resolve being tested. cry it out, pray, scream a bit, and then get your ass back in the game. People are counting on it. So what time in your life did you have to cry, scream, and pray? And then how did you get back in the game? Because people are right now kicking and screaming, but a lot of people struggle getting back in the game. What was like a personal experience? And then how do we do that?
Any quote that I put is because it's happening to me now. So when
That's the tea.
So when people see stuff and they're like, man, that was thought provoking and wow, like that was right on time. And it's like, I just survived it. So to be clear with you, the reason that I put that, I'm working on moving, right? So I live in the Northeast and I plan on going to South Carolina at some point in time. The house that we were working on was being built and some finances fell through. So the house fell through and it came right from underneath us. Ooh. And in the course of 2 days, they sold it. And even though we found the funding that we needed on Monday, it was sold by Sunday. Ugh. So the house that I was talking to my kids about and showing them pictures is gone. This was a week and a half ago. During that same time, my whole entire family got COVID, right? So kids, wife, the whole entire nine. And it was just me. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do with the house. I'm dropping no groceries. The kids are going to school. They're calling saying, Daddy, I want more video games on my phone. Like, can you press the button and you're taking too long? And there's finance folks calling me. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, this is a lot. And I had to really sit there and take a step back. And this is on top of working, running a company, speaking, trainings, and then building out my new website. And I just was like, man, what am I going to do? And it was a moment in time where I literally felt the moment of sadness. Mm. Like it rained down on me. I felt the clouds come around, womp, 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 Charlie Brown. Right. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I took a breath and I said, yo, man, you better figure this out. Cause if you let this kind of despair grow, everything that you've built can disappear very, very quickly. And as I'm sitting there, it's like an interesting thing for me. In trying to help other people, I help myself. Mm. So I sat down and I just started typing. And when I started typing, that quote came. And it was more or less me speaking to myself, but I'm willing to share with other people. And nobody knows what the story is behind that quote. But that's what it was. House was taken from under us. Kids and wife got COVID. And I'm trying to figure out what the next move was going to be. And I was just like, man.
So can I repeat back what I hear, Rob? Mm-hmm. Is that for somebody who is experiencing despair, and you said, I got to figure that out. How did you figure that out? Like, I heard you say you started typing, which is journaling of some sort. Mm-hmm. Was that the thing? Or what did you do to help move you out of despair?
Yeah. So it was a part of it. The first typing was a part of me actually recognizing what was happening. Oh. Right. And it's so often that when things happen to us, we run the other way. I had to embrace what I was feeling. Like, I don't Justin Timberlake, but my eyes got watery, right?
And Rob, at the beginning of this conversation, you're like, I was crying from speaking event to speaking event. I have a feeling we just met, but I was like, I think if we were friends, I'd keep a little bag of tissue in my purse for you.
I am that guy for other people, but listen, you won't have me up here boo-hooing. But what I will say is, it's so often that we believe, hey, what I'm going through, if I run from it, if I don't acknowledge it, then I'll be fine. But it's just like a storm, right? Mm-hmm. It is exactly just like a storm. Mm-hmm. See the storm coming, you go the other way, not knowing that the storm, that's the way the storm is moving. You just get wet longer, right? You just get wet longer. So I had to acknowledge, hey, like, I'm really feeling sad. And I didn't know it was coming. It just hit me. And it was like, man, I really feel sad. Like, oh, this is crazy. So I'm got on the phone. I'm talking to folks and I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm experiencing. And for me, I've been around enough people who've been in that place that I could kind of acknowledge it faster. And for some of us, we got to get our pride out of the way. Pride gets us through a lot of things. But when you're talking about something that can affect your health, your mental health, your physical well-being, and then other people around you, you have to call a spade for yourself. Like when I tell you, I was like, man, I just lost a whole entire year. I didn't get the chance to go out and speak. Yeah, I did some trainings and workshops, and I was doing all these different things and providing value on live Instagram and stuff. But what I was doing for the past 12 or 15 years, I wasn't able to do. I wasn't able to feel the audience how I was. Sadness. Mm. Oh, we lost the house. Oh, sadness. Mm. I had the quarantine away from the family. So I was by myself for the past probably 2 weeks. Sadness. And I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. What am I going to do? And it was like, okay, breathe. And you kind of walk yourself through. And at least that works for me. Mm. First thing was breathe and really acknowledge, like, yeah, you feel sadness. You're the strongest person. Yes, you consider yourself strong and you help other people, but you feel sadness. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Now acknowledge that and start to walk yourself through. And then that's where the typing came through. Because the typing is more or less me speaking to myself by helping other people. Mm-hmm. So that's really what that was. But I had to really acknowledge it.
So for somebody listening, I think that one of my skill sets is to take an idea and break it down, because I don't think I'm the sharpest crayon in the box, you know, the sharpest tool in the shed. So what I heard Rob say, for anybody else who's listening, and because of Rob's cadence and because of his story-like talking qualities and because of his strong possession, I don't want that to distance ourselves from what actually he's saying, which is, one, feel the sadness. Do not run away from the storm, because you're running into the storm and you will remain wet longer. Number two, reach out and talk to people who might have experienced something that you might be experiencing. Mm-hmm. Three, write. So sit in it, talk about it, write about it, and then move on. So when we talk about those things, I would like to loop this back to in the beginning of the conversation, you were saying, like, I was talking to young adults, right? And mm-hmm. talking about them specifically in high school and growing up about what was important to you. And like, I think to myself, what I just heard was this powerful execution of managing emotion and mindset. So what are one or two lessons that you teach and or taught like young people that you wish, man, I wish more adults knew this today, based on everything you've learned? Help us find that like younger person of ourselves so that we can identify and grow from that.
Well, the first thing, especially as children, as kids and young adults and people in general, is a lot of times the barriers that others create all about the failings that they had, right? And as kids, it's so often that if we hear, it can be parents or as a spouse, we can hear someone say, well, you can't do that. You can't have an awesome show, Ms. Star. You can't do it. Being able to realize that that person speaks from fear about what they couldn't do. So being able sometimes not just to accept what people say, but being able to classify it for where it is in their life, not accept it as truth for you.
Amen.
So as I'm talking to those young adults and even adults now, right, the biggest thing is I was really trying to help them understand your biggest obstacle. One will be yourself, but also the people closest to you, because people close to you, they see you for who you've always been. Right. And if you were somebody who stole the cookies out the cookie jar for a long time with your twin sister, right?
Yes.
I got a feeling you're the one who takes the cookies.
Of course, shoot.
I think you're the one that takes the cookies. So for your sister, that's always a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. So even as you're blossoming and becoming so much more, the foundation of your relationship is still built on what mm-hmm. that person has seen before. And as we're trying to transition to be something greater, we also have to be able to acknowledge and say, okay, that's who I was. It makes me into this even more awesome person, but I'm not going to allow my past to halt my present and my future. Mm. Right. And that, like, that's a big piece. So and to break that down a little bit more, if you're trying to be a butterfly, you can't get caught up on all the things you did as a caterpillar. Just can't. It's time to really like break free from that and remove those chains. And it's so often that we're stuck trying to fly and thinking as a caterpillar, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the strangest thing. We're beautiful, we're graceful, and all these other things, but we're thinking about where we were so often that we can't be who we are now.
You can't fly like a butterfly if you're caught up thinking like a caterpillar. Come on. Come on. You're just dropping these Hallmark card gems all day out here.
Go ahead. I know you're going to break it down.
Shoot. This is so good. Okay. So I can tell you that one of the reasons that our paths cross, at least initially, I'm just like something had resonated and I quickly understood that one of our favorite topics is mindset. So can you explain the importance of a healthy mindset in business? Like, and how do you coach people to acknowledge that the need of healthy mindset? Because the thing that I have noticed, because I teach what I had to learn, is I never acknowledged that I had a toxic or negative mindset. I truly thought this was just how I am. And it hasn't been until the past 4 years that I'm like, oh no, my mind is a muscle and I've been able to train it to become something. But how do you train people to first acknowledge what their mindset is? Do we have like a barometer that you can help us like figure out where we are? And then two, how do we cultivate a healthy mindset?
Yeah. So for me, when I'm thinking about the mindset at all points in times, what are the things that we consistently run into and are we accepting those? And for me, it's like, hey, am I telling myself something about who I am that is becoming a roadblock for where I want to be?
Give me an example. Let's pause.
Sure. I never considered myself to be smart, and I never considered myself when I was younger to be a great speaker. And as I got older and I started to interact with more people, the first thing that I realized is like, man, I stood in front of opportunities so often, stopping myself, that I would blame other people for what was happening in my life. And a big part of that is, here we go, shameless plug. When we talk about shifting,
hold on, for the audio, what we're just looking at right now is a sweatshirt that says never average.
Correct. So a big part of it is no longer accepting what you understand as the lowest part of yourself. That's the average side. So when I say never average, as a young man, here's my mindset. I don't have to work hard. I don't have to study. And as long as I got a C, as long as I could pass classes, then I was okay. But not recognizing there was a cost for being average, right? Not recognizing that the mentality of not working as hard as you can, comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of who you are, or who you can be in the future, right? In that mentality of like, man, are you really going balls to the wall? And sometimes that's what I mean. Asking the question, did I really give it my all? And if I didn't, I have to acknowledge that I shortchanged myself. I have to acknowledge that I accepted average from myself. And that's no one else's fault except mine. And once I can accept that I own that, then it also means what? I have the power to change it. I have the power to shift my mentality from what it was before.
Okay. So first thing was understanding when we had like a limiting mindset or an unhealthy mindset was telling yourself a story that precluded you from getting the thing that you wanted. So Rob said, I am not a good speaker, therefore I can't be a speaker. And it wasn't until he acknowledged that he was choosing to believe something that was not serving him. And the choice was his and his alone. And then understanding that mediocrity forced him to reconcile, am I doing the most with what I have? So those two things, from what I hear, is like a good place to start of understanding how healthy is your mindset. So like somebody might be listening and it might not be public speaking, but it might be, I can't be a photographer, or I can't be an influencer, or I can't, you know, make yarn sweaters, whatever it is. And they can choose to say that, or they can choose to say, this is a thing that I can do. So once they've acknowledged, wow, I didn't realize that I was selling myself short and telling myself a limiting story, how then do we cultivate a healthy mindset? Because every day it's a new day to make a new decision. How do we keep it going?
So now when you recognize that, also stop comparing yourself to people who are further along.
Come on.
Right. So that idea that, hey, I'm a motivational speaker and I'm going to compare myself to any and everybody else that's come before me, and not recognizing that your story is yours. And nobody's bringing to life your story like you are. Now, that's me speaking as a speaker, but even as a business person, right? If you're an entrepreneur, your story is a big part of what you're delivering when it comes down to services or products. And it's so often that we'll get caught up and we'll say, hey, I'm looking to deliver all these products and bring all these different things to life, but I can't do overnight like Amazon, so I can't do it. Right? Just think about it. The shirt that you have on, if you purchased it from someone online, that person is trying to live up to the expectations of Jeff Bezos and the boys and the girls. You will drive yourself crazy trying to be someone who's already put in 20 years, right? If I'm trying to be E.T. the hip hop preacher, I will crush myself because E.T. has been speaking for 30 years. By the time you saw him, he was already 20 years into the game. If you compare your podcast to people who, what is it, Joe Rogan, right? And you'll say, man, he just got a Spotify deal. And what am I doing that he's, no. What can you do better in your lane, right? And it's so often we're trying to be in everybody else's lane except the most important lane, and that's ours. Run your race, right? I don't know if anyone ever listened to Usain Bolt. He said, hey, in all honesty, I think I could probably run a 1,000-meter race, but the level of practice that's necessary, that's not for me. But I can do 100, I can do a 200, and I can even do a 400. Because that in the level of practice, that's inside of who I am, right? So for me, I'm always like, hey, what's this race I'm running? That's my mentality. Am I running the right race for who I am? And if I am, that means the mentality that I have to have has to match it.
Okay. We're sitting here. We're talking about Usain Bolt. Talk about the 100, the 200, the 400. But what we should mention are the hurdles. Now, Mr. Bolt doesn't do hurdles, but we, as business owners, we do hurdles, even if we like it, if we don't. So what are some like mental hurdles that hold people back from getting what they want? Like, what are two or three examples of mental barriers that you see again and again? Because I know that you consult with companies as like they're talking about taking personal ownership of where they fit in the organization, but you must see, what are the mental hurdles that are holding a lot of people back?
Many, if not all of us, disguise our chase for perfection, but it's really fear, right? And I'll say it a little bit differently. We'll be like, well, you know, I want things to be perfect. No, you don't want people to call you out on things not working the way you want them to.
Facts.
Right? I was supposed to do a podcast for the past 7 years. And every time I would get up and I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't like how I look here. Oh, I don't like how I look there. And ultimately, am I online for people to say, man, Rob's handsome? I know I'm handsome. I'm a handsome guy. I understand that. But I'm really going up there for what? And so often the thing that is scaring us from doing certain things isn't the major component of why we're supposed to be showing up. People aren't showing up to hear me speak so they could look at my face. That's not the main function. Do I want to look good? Yes. But I'm here to deliver important information that can really impact people's lives. And if I continue to allow my fear of being called out, or a lot of times, here's another piece. We don't want people to say the emperor doesn't have clothes on. Are you living what you're saying to other people? And the most interesting thing about business and about these hurdles that we experience, there's always someone who hasn't gotten to where you are yet. There's always someone who's five steps behind you, and what you're delivering can help them. Stop worrying about the person who's neck and neck with you. Stop worrying about the person who's ahead of you and what they'll say. Worry about the person who truly needs what you're providing. Worry about that person, because that person is looking for who? You. That's who they're looking for. And that piece in business and relationships, in school, whatever the case may be, is something that can really open up the gates for people if we just move out of our own damn way.
So two hurdles. Number one is that perfection is just fear wearing a fancy ball gown. And two is understanding that we don't want people to judge us based on what we say. So Rob's just saying people are going to judge you, but as long as you're walking in integrity, like you are going to be serving somebody who is about 2, 3, 4 steps behind you. Like somebody once told me, if I wanted to take tennis lessons, I'm not going to hire Serena or Venus Williams.
Don't do it.
Right? I want to learn from somebody who's around 3 or 4 steps in front of me. And oftentimes, as business owners, if you only understood that you are there to serve a person who wants you in your story, in your way to help them. So thank you for clarifying those hurdles. Now, speaking of mindset, something I've noticed that you often tell business owners, don't leave your heart at home. You mentioned this at the top of the show. And my team, like, I love them. God bless them. Bless their heart if we were in the South. But they always tell me that I have a black heart. And I know that they say Jasmine eats rocks for breakfast. Listen, they're delicious. Put a little salsa in a tortilla. But I am an INTJ on Myers-Briggs. And so this kind of like classifies me as somebody who makes decisions quickly and without emotion. It's high logic for me. So when you tell me as a business owner, because I know that on the top of the show, we framed it as don't leave your heart at home for the people who are working for somebody else. But for people who are like out on their own or have teams or doing something full time, how do we not leave our heart at home as leaders?
Yeah. So for me, and even hearing what you just said, it's always understanding the impact of what you do, right? And a lot of times thinking about your heart doesn't have to be it's bleeding and it's all mushy and it's all these tears and everything. It's really about you're able to connect what you do with the impact that it will have on other people, right? Being able to drive and say, hey, the content that I'm providing, I may not be here to be Mother Goose, but I do know that it's going to nurture what someone's building. That's hard. That's love, not just for what you're doing, but for the people you're serving. So when we're talking about not leaving your heart at home, it's really being able to put the impact of what you do together with the people that are going to be impacted. And it's so often that we miss that fact. We miss that piece where it's like, well, I don't care about, you know, how people feel. Yes, you do. You just don't know in what way you care, because you care about what people, how people consume what you do, right? You may want to have the best numbers on YouTube. You want to have the best show. You want to have the best company that sells cogs and widgets, but you also want people to love what you provide. You want people to say, hey, I like that. That really resonated with me. That really touched home for me. And you want people, and no matter how small or large our egos are, when it's all said and done, and you're 95 years old, and you're sitting still glamorous and awesome, you want some folks to walk by you, a 75-year-old woman, and you want her to say, Miss Star, you have no idea of what your podcast did not just for me, but for my family. And if your heart never bleeds, if your heart never bled, it will bleed that day. You will push out all these rocks of coal with the sun on them. And you will say, you know what? If nobody ever says to me again that I made a positive impact on their life, at least I know that person got what I brought to the table. And so I don't know if everyone thinks about it that way. I do. I just don't want a statue yet. I want a statue when I'm gone. I want to, like, when I'm gone and I'm going to the upper room or wherever I go, then I want like a bronze statue. Like Rob Felder was here.
May that be our legacy. And, you know, I joke and I completely an empathetic, kind, nice person. But what you see in the business world is this utmost drive of the highest level of service for the people who invest their time and their hard-earned money. If you see me pushing, if you see me driving, if you watch me dot every I and cross every T, if you see me going through code, if you see me uploading photos, if you see me proofing our own dang copy, let me just tell you, I do that, yes, because I eat rocks for breakfast, because our members, people we serve, deserve only the freaking best. So if you ain't here to do that, you need to find another place. So Mr. Felder, Rob, I'm going to bronze you. I'm going to bronze your shoes. You know, like back in the day, people like mamas would bronze their shoes and put it up on the mantle. I'm about to bronze your like Air Jordans on behalf of listeners of this show, on behalf of members of Social Curator, on behalf of the family who you represent so well, we would like to bronze your shoes. You are incredible. What you just did is we talked about business and we didn't talk about business. We talked about the mind and the heart, and you guided us through how we can identify sadness, move past it. We can talk about the hurdles. We could talk about reframing our mindset. You giving so generously of your time is going to impact and change lives. So I want to say thank you. And for people who want to go deeper and learn more about you, can you please tell us how they can connect with you online?
Awesome. 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 So you have at RB Felder on all social media platforms. So RB and F as in Frank, EL, D as in dog, ER. And then hopefully in the next week or so, I will launch the whole entire website again, but it's up, but I got some tweaks that I'm doing, and that's felderworks.com.
Felderworks.com. We'll make sure we link it up in the show notes. I appreciate you, truly.
Well, hey, thank you for having me.
I mean, come on. Wasn't Rob just amazing? I loved getting to know him better, and I hope you did too. If you enjoyed this episode of the Jasmine Star Show, y'all take a screenshot, post it on Instagram, and you could tag at Jasmine Star and at Felderworks when you share this podcast. It would mean the world to me, because when you share it with other business owners, it helps me connect even more with entrepreneurs, and together we can build the business of our dreams. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to talk to you soon.